2 Timothy chapter number 3. We're discussing on the subject understanding the gospel, and it is the second part of the series 2. So it's 2B, right? Series 2B. And then we'll continue from there sometimes in the year next year. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Chapter 3. Understanding the gospel. Chapter 3, verse 15, it says, "And from childhood, preface, you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." Hallelujah. So we said that Paul will commend the cleverness of Timothy in his interpretation of scriptures, which is in the light of salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus, right? Was that what we said? Right? So that was what we said. So we'll take it off from there. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. So also we looked at the fact that the gospel ministered in the Old Testament was ministered as a promise. Romans chapter 1 verses 1 into 4. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Romans 1 from verse 1. It says, "Paul, a bond servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophet in the Holy Scriptures." It says concerning his son. When it says through his prophet in the Holy Scripture, it means the gospel was ministered in the Old Testament. Hallelujah. As a promise. Right? Hallelujah. Not just good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As a promise. So we said that promise. Now we said that word promise is actually in the singular, right? It's actually in the singular. While we looked at it last week, we said it's actually in the singular. So you will get to see as we progress today where you find promises. And we said the promise of God is singular. Hallelujah. That word epagilia is actually singular. Do you understand me? It's actually singular. It's just the same way you have it for gifts. Well, you get to see the word gifts in the scripture. Open your Bible with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Also in Ephesians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, if you read verses 4, it said there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Now, the word gift, when you say the word gift, yes, when you say diversities of gifts, we can pardon the translators for using gift because it went ahead to mention 9. Do you understand? But in the recent, listen, if you go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7, it said he gave gifts to men. Do you understand me? So the word gift is the word charisma. Now there is no plural in charisma. Do you understand me? Aha. So the writer or the translators of scriptures, they would look into the way scriptures, or like now where we go to 1 Corinthians 12 verse 4, it said there are diversities of gifts. Now he uses the word gifts there because he's talking about the diversity. Do you understand? But in the real sense, gifts, charisma is not in plural. Do you understand me? Charisma is singular. Do you understand? And you know, the gift he's talking about, if you were to look at it well, if you were to look at that scripture well, or look at the gift well, the gift of God is the Spirit of God. Right? Right? Now, when it comes to say there are diversities of gifts, is actually supposed to be left in the singular. Do you understand? But you know, you can pardon them for what they did. Do you understand me? Now, why should it be left in the singular? is because if you say there is diversity of gifts, it's trying to say in that gift, which is the Spirit of God. Now, if you get to talk about the things of the Spirit, in that gift, there are diversities. You know, we use the word diversity. Now, that means different of the same. Do you understand? Different part of the same. So that is why in verse 11 of chapter 12 in 1 Corinthians, you say, but all these, say, but one and the same Spirit. Did you say that? So these are diversities in the gift. Do you understand me? They are diversities. What he goes ahead to mention as the nine gifts are actually gifts in the gift. Do you understand? They are in the Spirit. So, in the real sense, there is no there is no plural in charisma. Do you understand me? Now, the same way too, you will not find the writers in... We're going to look at some scripture when we discuss the promised land. Do you understand me? Now, we'll look at some scriptures and you find the word promises. So, in that makes one who is not careful in study, that one will not think there are different promises. Do you understand me? He will not go to Genesis and now see the promises given to Isaac and now claiming and say of the dew of the heavens, of the fatness of the earth. Do you understand? Those are the promises of God. God promised me 2 plots of land. Did you see? Because in his mind, he thinks God has different promises. Do you understand me? But the promise is one. Hallelujah. Amen. And we say the resurrection of Christ is the fulfillment of the promises. Or of the promise. Did you now see? Even me, I'm using the word impure. Now, hallelujah. Amen. So, now the resurrection of Christ is the fulfillment of the promise. That was what we saw last week, right? Right? Aha. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So, don't get it, how should I put it now? Don't get it all mixed up. When you see the word promise, and later you see promises, that's, does God have different promises? No, it's just one promise. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. So, in the Old Testament, you see the promise of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Look at Romans 15 verse 8. Okay, are you there? Okay. A second. I'm there already. I just want to check something else. Okay. 15 verse 8. It says, but now I say that Christ Jesus had become a servant to the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm. Now, look at what the translators made. Not Paul. Paul did not write promises. You know, to confirm the promises made to the fathers. Now, they made it promises, because they're talking about fathers. You understand? So, they just look at the grammar and put promises, because he doesn't talk about the fathers, he talks about the prophet of old, right? They talk about Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. You understand me? So, when they look at Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, it's like promises, because they are, you understand me? Because of the plural of the fathers that is used there, the translators decided to put promises. But actually, in the real sense, that is promise. It's in singular. Do you understand me? So it could be, it should be right, confirm the promise made to the fathers. Do you understand me? Because it's the same promise. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And in Christ, that promise is fulfilled. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
So we said that the resurrection of Christ is the fact of the gospel. In the sense that the resurrection makes his incarnation and his death special. And we saw that from 1 Corinthians 15:14. He said, let's go to 1 Corinthians 15:14. Yeah, and if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. Verse 16, and yes, we have found false witness of God, because we've testified that God has raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. But if the dead, if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. So meaning the gospel, or we say our faith, is founded on the resurrection of Christ. That was what we said, right? Our faith is founded on the resurrection of Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it's very important. It's very important. We said that the resurrection of Christ makes his incarnation and his death special. Right? Right? It makes his incarnation and his death special to us. What is the incarnation of Christ? What is his incarnation? Look at John chapter 1. John chapter 1. So that you see, the birth of Christ is not just the it's not just the birth of one Jew guy. No. Hallelujah. Glory to God. No. Look at John 1. He says, in the beginning was the Word. He's referring to the words in the mouth of the prophet, right? In the beginning. Now, when he says in the beginning, he's talking about in Genesis. Do you understand me? So, he is the Word spoken of in Genesis. In the beginning was the Word, Logos. Logos. In the beginning was the Word. He said the Word was with God, and God is the Word. Hallelujah. That's what the Greek fools say, and God is the Word. He said, he was in the beginning with God. He said, all things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that is made. In him was life, and the life is the light of men. John, that is Genesis chapter 1, verse 2 into 3. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The life is the light of men. And the light shines in darkness. The darkness is Genesis. Right? Because he has shown you that in the beginning. So that is the light in the Genesis. Do you understand me? That's the light in Genesis. The light shines in darkness, and darkness did not comprehend it. Look at verse 14. He says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Now, if this is the fact of the gospel, did you see how John writes? John did not write and start putting, John did not talk about how the angel visited Mary and this. Now, that story is not irrelevant. You understand? It's very relevant. Hallelujah. But what John did is, John shows us. No, John's gospel is just like as if he's writing an epistle. Do you understand? So, John shows us I don't want to use the word hermeneutics now, because I plan saying that next 2 weeks. Hallelujah. But John shows us the explanation of Genesis. So what did John do? John did not start his write off from from Mary. Every other writer will now draw back the genealogy. Do you understand? Down to trace it down to what? To Jesus, right? From the beginning to Jesus. But John now writes it I'm trying not to say it like that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you understand? So John will now write it as that word in the beginning is Christ. Do you understand? Hallelujah. That word in the beginning, he said, became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Hallelujah. So if this is the fact of the gospel, that God became a man. You understand? God became man. If that is a fact of the gospel, that means we will find it in the mouth of the prophets that God will become a man. Did you see that? It will be in their words. And we saw that, right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now when he says, and the Word became flesh and tabernacled amongst us. What comes to mind? Moses comes to mind again. Tabernacle. You know what I mean? Tabernacle. The tabernacle that Moses built was to show what? Heaven and earth are in the same place. Hallelujah. God became a man and dwelt amongst us. Did you see that? Glory to God. I will behold his glory. When you shall see the word, his glory. He takes your mind again to Moses. Hallelujah. I want you to say Moses 33. Exodus 33. Let's look at Exodus 33. Exodus 33. Now, I've just been led to share along this line while coming for meeting today. Just to share along this line a bit. Hallelujah. Exodus 33. Look at verses 9. So, we don't play down his incarnation. Because it's God. God became man. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Exodus 33 verse 9. I'll start from verse 8. Okay, let's just skip that. We'll look at that very well when we discuss the glory that exceeds, right? We'll look at that. Glory to God. That might come up in January. Permit me. Glory to God. You have gone to school, right? Yeah. But let's see how it goes. We might just have a teaching meeting next month. If they give us this place, we'll have a teaching meeting and we'll just talk about the glory that exceeds. You understand? Because the whole of November we'll be having believers meeting. I'll be teaching along that line, believers meeting. Do you understand? Hallelujah. But if there's time next month, we'll just have a teaching meeting and we'll discuss the glory that I see. Glory to God. Now look at that. Verse 9. And it came to pass when Moses entered the tabernacle, and that the pillar of cloud descended and stood on the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked to Moses, and all the people saw the pillar of cloud, listen, standing in the tabernacle door, and the people rose and worshipped each man in his tent. They saw what? The pillar of cloud. They saw signs and wonders, miracle signs and wonders. Do you understand me? Do you get where? In the tabernacle. Remember, I showed us that the tabernacle was to signify what? Was to signify God in man. God and man, heaven and earth in the same place. Did you get that? Heaven and earth in the same place. That is a fact of the gospel. God became a man. Hallelujah. Amen. Listen to this good. Now. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, when they saw the tabernacle, they saw the pillar of cloud. They saw the miracle signs and wonders. Moses too saw it. One could say that is God's glory, right? They saw it. But you know what? Look at verse 18. See, I'll start from verse 17. It says, so the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight. I know you by name. And he said, please show me your glory. What did he just see in verse 9? He said, Lord, show me your glory. Hallelujah.
Amen.
What is Moses saying? Hallelujah.
Amen.
He said, show me your glory. But I thought in verses 8 into verses 9 into verse 10, they just saw glory, right? But Moses knew that what those guys saw was a shadow. I said, Lord, leave that one. Show me your glory. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Leave that one. We know. Show me your glory. What was he asking for? Show me your glory. And let's look at what God said to him. Verse 19, and he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion to whom I will have compassion. Verse 20. And then he said, God is speaking. Now, you know, some people say, we're going to get there. Say, God closed his eye and say, you'll see my backside. Mm-mm. Don't be too forward. Let's understand scriptures. Hallelujah.
Amen.
the word of God. Look at verse 20. He says, but he said, you cannot see my face, for no one sees, no, for no one shall see me and live. Now, God is not saying if you see me, you will die. No, God is explaining a fact of the gospel. This is the fact of the gospel. He says, for he said, you cannot see my face, for no one sees, for no one shall see me and live. Now, let's start like this. If you look at that word, live is the word kaye in the Hebrew. Kaye. C-H-A-Y-A-Y. C-H-A-Y-A-Y. Kaye. It's the word that is used for, it's the word that implies to revive or to bring back alive. Do you understand me? Aha. To bring back alive. So, meaning automatically, he's not talking about death here. If you see the face of God, you would die. No, that's not what he's talking about here. Hallelujah. He said, for no one sees my face and live. Now, there's a syntax error. You know, we did one the last time while we're discussing communion, anointing oil, and that's the last thing we discussed. Communion, anointing oil, and baptism, right? We looked at, we saw a syntax error. And I discovered that we discussed this today too, right? And explaining that syntax error. Now, you could find syntax error. Syntax error is an error in misplacing of words. Do you understand me? Misplacing of words by the translators. Do you understand me? Now, this is a syntax error because the word used is the word kaye, a word used for to revive, to bring back alive. Do you understand me? So, if you look at that syntax error and we look at it, that word for is the word that implies then. So, now, listen to me. Now, the syntax error when arranged should be like this. He says, for he said, you cannot see my face. He said, okay, that word you cannot see my face is actually, you cannot yet see my face. It's not you cannot see my face. You understand? You cannot yet see my face. You understand? And that's the reason why we'll go back to the original to see these words. Do you understand? For you shall not yet see my face. We also look at it again when we discuss the greater glory. It says, for no one. Now, it now says, then shall no one see me and not live. Did you get that? That is the arrangement. Say, then shall no one see me and not live. But he said, but you shall not yet see my face. That is the fact of what he will do. That means, listen, he's telling him that I will come as a man, but not now. Did you see that? God is talking about the incarnation. Say, shall no man yet see my face and live? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because when a man sees his face, he comes back alive. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So we explain verse 21 and 22 when we discuss the greater glory. I mean the glory that exceeds. Because if I go there now, I've already entered that story. I started teaching you the topics. Glory to God. He said, for no man yet see my face and live. So Christ or God is talking about the incarnation. And in chapter 1 of John, verse 14, he said, and we beheld his glory. That is the answer to Moses' prayer. Lord, show me your glory. He said, you cannot yet see my face. But in John chapter 1, John now writes. So if I get to John 1, 14, I will put, you can cross-reference it to Exodus 33, verse 18. Say, Lord, show me your glory. He says, I will beheld his glory. Did you see that? We beheld his glory. The incarnation. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Did you get that? We beheld his glory.
the Holy Begotten, I mean the glorious of the Holy Begotten of the Father. That is the word in Hebrew, the word glory, the word kabod. In the Greek, you have it as doza. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
He says, look at verse 18. John 1:18. He says, for no one has seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son of God, or the only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. So Christ's incarnation is to declare God. That word declare is the Greek word exegomai. Exegomai, it means to explain what you are part of. To explain what you are part of. Is a reporting, is a kind of reporting where you don't report about something else, but you report what you are part of. He said, he has explained it. Hallelujah. So, what Jesus did, or his incarnation, explains God to us. We'll discuss this subsequently when we discuss on that topic. So, the incarnation is the fact, or is a fact of the gospel. God became a man. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So when Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3 to 4, he said Christ died for us according to the scripture. When he talks about Christ died for us according to the scripture, he was buried according to the scripture, and he rose again from the dead according to the scripture. Now, what is Paul saying? Paul is saying, if you look at the scriptures of Genesis to Malachi together, the words of the prophet together, you will discover that he talks about his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So if you look at it together, you will see Christ's death. And when you talk about Christ's death, when you talk about Christ's death, you talk about his incarnation. Hallelujah. Did you get that? Hallelujah. And that is why the apostles from Acts 2 to Acts 3 to Acts 4, they, when they teach the message, when they teach the gospel, we saw that in series 2a, you will see the fact of his incarnation in their message. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I will always see the fact of his resurrection from the dead. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Are we together?
Yes.
Okay. So if I go through the scriptures, I will see this fact. The fact of the gospel. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Every time we discuss understanding this gospel, we must talk about the fact of the gospel. We can't run away from it, because that is what we preach. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 14. So we're talking about, we said, the resurrection makes the other fact of the gospel special to us. Makes his death special to us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Look at 1 Corinthians 15 verse 14. It says in verse 14, it says, and if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. When he says, if Christ has not risen, that word he uses there, he uses the a perfect tense to show the resurrection of Christ. He says, if Christ has not risen, that is in the perfect tense, which is a combination of past continuous and present continuous. A perfect tense to show us the resurrection of Christ is not past. We said that yesterday. The resurrection of Christ is not an event. Though it happened as an event, But to the believer, it's not an event. The resurrection of Christ is the everyday reality of the believer. Hallelujah. And we saw yesterday before we say that, before I get to that, if that is the fact of the gospel, if it is a present continuous and past continuous tense used, it then shows us that if I go to the Old Testament, I will find or I will see fact about his resurrection being spoken of in the mouth of the prophet. I will see there. And we said when Jesus was to talk about this before his death in John chapter 14 to chapter 16, he showed us that the reality or the fact about his resurrection is the indwelling of the Spirit. That was what we said. That the indwelling of the Spirit is the fact of his resurrection. Right? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
This is why in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, let's go back to 1 Corinthians 2, from verse 6, say, however, we speak the wisdom. Let's just jump down to verse 12. It says, now we've received not the spirit of this world, but the spirit which is from God, that we might know those things that are freely given to us by God. These things will speak not in words which human wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Hallelujah. So, Paul is showing us that a man who receives Christ, or the man who receives Christ, that is the new birth, the one who gets born again, he or she, to be born again is to receive the Holy Spirit. Years ago, that was around before we started ministry, there was a time I had a little chat with a friend of mine. We were having a study of the scriptures together. And he asked a very mind-blowing question. He said, what is the difference between being born again and receiving the Holy Spirit? Are they the same experience or are they different experience? So we got talking on that line for a while. Hallelujah. We got talking on that line for a long time. But you know, there's no difference. Hallelujah. Do you get that? There's no difference. To be born again is to receive the Holy Spirit. And we said it in the last teaching that if you get born again today, the Holy Spirit came a millisecond after, then all Christ has taught us was false. You understand me? So that instant, you know, not being able to answer that question those years affected the way we communicated. Hallelujah. So we get people to be born again, and after a while, now it's time to receive the Holy Spirit. Did you see that? That was confusion. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
But we got to resolve that later. Because to be born again is to receive the Spirit of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Did you get that? Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, listen, I'm about to say something. So, to be born again, we said, is to receive the Spirit of God. Now, let's look at chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians, verse 16. It says, do you not know that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit, which dwells in you? Now, because of the fact that we receive the Spirit of God, Paul will now say we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, which dwells in you. In chapter 6, verse 19, he said, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. Hallelujah. He said, they are the temple, your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit which dwells in you. That word to dwell is what that means, to reside permanently. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So the Holy Spirit resides in the believer permanently. Permanently. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, Paul says we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost. When he said temple, what comes to mind is what? Moses. So the church at Corinth, what will come to their mind? Moses. Heaven and earth in the same place, right? Right? Aha, Moses. Heaven and earth in the same place. God in man. Did you get that? Aha. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
That is the fact of the new birth. That is the fact of the resurrection. The resurrection fact makes it possible for God to dwell in man. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He makes it possible. John 14, verses 18, he says, I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Verse 20, in that day you will know. And I am in the Father. Right? Hallelujah.
Amen.
And you in me. I am in the Father. You will know. Hallelujah.
Amen.
What is that day we are spending yesterday? That day will be the day of the new birth. The day of the resurrection, right? That in that day will be in his hour. Right? Hallelujah.
Amen.
He used that in John chapter 2. When the mother came meeting him and said, turn water to wine, right? Uh-huh. Or he came and said, the wine is finished, right? Uh-huh. And he told the mother, he said, My time has not come. It's not yet come. He's not saying my time for miracle has not yet come. No. Because when the mother, you see, you must understand how Jesus explains scriptures. Because I've heard someone said, when you want to get someone to do something, go and meet the mother. So therefore, when they needed Jesus to do something, they have to go and meet Jesus' mother. In fact, somebody said one that was a bomb. Was it? Okay, I read it from a book. Big bomb. When I mean it was a bomb, it's a serious bomb. He said, the guy died. Very funny. And there was a ladder. Ladder. Watch. You see, it's one of the... Permit me. One of the Roman Catholic beliefs. Do you understand me? And I keep telling people, I'm not against the Roman Catholic. I'm a Catholic. But not the one from Rome. Do you understand? I'm a Catholic. Hallelujah. Now, he said there are two ladders. And, you know, I guess the charismatic section of Roman Catholic don't believe in that. Hallelujah. So he said, as he wanted to climb the one that Jesus was on one and Mary was on the other one. Listen, as he wanted to climb the one Jesus is because he was a sinner, Jesus now frowned at him. Heaven. Jesus now frowned at him. Then he now went to the one where Mary is. And he now went to meet Mary. Mary now pleaded to Jesus. Can you watch Nollywood and just rest? Hallelujah. That is just so funny. Very funny, right? Very funny. Hallelujah. So they act drama in heaven. Can't you just think for once? With your spirit, you are not climbing ladder. How? Physically or in the rest of the spirit, there's ladder. Come on, wake up. It's not scriptural. Hallelujah. How did we get here? Okay, yeah. Talking about my time has not come, right? So, you know, people say, the reason why Jesus was able to do miracle was because the mother forced him to do it because it's time to do miracle. No, Jesus was not talking about this time of miracle. We just read yesterday that he said, at my day, right? In that day. When he said, my hour has not come. He's referring to the same thing. Right? Give us this day the daily bread. Remember we said that our daily bread is not bread for tea. No. It is not daily bread for my job. No. No. The daily bread is the bread that lasts for tomorrow. It's tomorrow's bread. So what he said is give me tomorrow's bread today. Do you understand that? And when he says tomorrow bread, that is Matthew chapter 6. Now when he says give me tomorrow, give us this day our daily bread. It means the bread that lasts forever. And when he talks about bread, you have to read John. Listen, you have to go to John chapter, that should be John 4, 5. Okay, you have to get to John chapter 6. So see that when he talks about bread, he talks about what? Eternal life. So Jesus will use bread as eternal life. So when you read the Lord's Prayer, when he says, "Our Father, who art in heaven, say, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." He said, "Give us this day our daily bread." When he said this day, he talks about the day of his resurrection. Man will receive, will receive the daily bread, which is the tomorrow bread, which is what? Eternal life. Did you get that? So, at the resurrection, life becomes available. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So the man who believes. So when he said, "Give us this day," his day will be the day of his resurrection. Did they get that? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So when he said, "Woman, my hour has not come," it's not hour for miracle. He's talking about, because what Mary told him was the reality about humanity. He said, there is no wine. Right? John chapter 2, quickly, verse 3. John 2, 3. "And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, 'They have no wine.'" That is the reality. Listen, actually there was no wine at all. You know, if you want to understand, or, you know, remember I told you that the Old Testament explains the four gospel. The four gospel explains the Old Testament. I told us that last time, right? Now, if you hear, "There is no wine," that is the true state of that wedding. There was no wine. But look at how Jesus would answer questions. Matthew 19. They came and said, "Moses suffered us to what? Put away our wives." Jesus Christ takes that and what explains the marriage. Do you understand me? Do you understand? So, Jesus Christ will explain it in the light of the gospel. Did you get that? Now, when he said, "There is no wine," that is the state of man. Man was without wine. Man was without the Spirit of God. Do you understand me? So, what did Jesus reply? He said, "Jesus said to her, 'Woman, what is your concern? What does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come, not the hour for miracle.'" The hour of resurrection, where the wine of Christ becomes available. What is the wine of Christ? His Spirit. So when Mary says, when Mary said, "They have no wine," meaning man is without the Spirit of God. Did you get that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Are we together? Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So let's go back. How did you get it again? Okay. We were in 1 Corinthians 3, right? Okay. So, we said Moses comes to mind when you hear temple, right? Right? Was that what we were? How do we enter new wine? This day, right? How did you get to this day? Okay, eternal life. Yeah, thank you. Okay, so the fact of the resurrection. The fact of the resurrection is eternal life, right? That we receive. Glory to God. So eternal life becomes the fact of the resurrection, right? Right? Aha. And that eternal life is the Spirit of God, right? Right? So I said, when you hear the resurrection of Christ, so the believer, it is the indwelling of the Spirit that should come to your mind, right? I am going to do a separation for us by next week. And I feel I have the time to do it. If I don't get to do it, we'll get to do it next time we teach on it. Between the resurrection and the ascension. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But it's just words. Hallelujah. Glory, glory.
Hallelujah.
Okay, when it says temple, we say Moses comes to mind, right? Heaven and earth in the same place, right? Right? Aha. Heaven and earth in the same place. God will be in man. Did you know? Listen, that means if I go to the Old Testament and I see the temple, I will see the resurrection of Christ. Did you get that? If I see the temple, I will see what? The resurrection of Christ. When I see the resurrection of Christ, who do I see? I see God in man. Right? I will see God in man. Right? Right? Aha. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Did you get that? So, if I get to Genesis, I will see it too. If I get to Genesis, I will see it too. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You remember, it's the fact of the new birth. It's the fact of the new birth. Remember, we said, when a man, at the resurrection, when a man believes, he receives the Spirit instantaneously. And last week, we saw the fact that that land is talking about his rest. Right? So if I go to Genesis, and we said that promise was fulfilled in the resurrection. Right? So that means if I go to Genesis chapter 2, Genesis chapter 1, I will find the resurrection fact there. Did you get that? We'll find time to look at that next week. Hallelujah. So we'll have a lot to look at next week. A whole lot. Look at Genesis chapter 2 quickly. Let me just show you that. One, just one out of all. Then we'll look at the others. Genesis 2 verse 1 into 2. It says, thus the heaven and the earth and all the hosts of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Verse 3, God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. If you find, look at verse 2 to verse 3, you will kind of see two people being spoken, or two sets of people being spoken about. Verse 3 says, he rested from all the work which God has done. Who is it referring to? It's referring to man. Right? Man. Resting in God's work. Because in, listen, in God's Sabbath, listen, in God's Sabbath, God is the one working. Man is resting in God's work. Do you understand me? So, Moses will write about God's Sabbath. What is God's Sabbath? In the day of his resurrection. That is God's Sabbath. So, the Sabbath day is not a day in the week. No, the Sabbath day is that day. Do you understand me? Aha. The Sabbath day is that day. That's why Paul, I mean, the writer of Hebrew, which I'm calling Paul. Hallelujah. The writer of Hebrew will say, arguably, I have no proof. So I stick with my mentor. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. But somebody that is a student of Paul. You understand me? Uh-huh. So that is, it's nothing to build a doctrine around. Glory to God. Now, writer of Hebrew will say, we who do believe have done what? We've entered into that rest. We've entered into God's Sabbath. Did you see that? So, listen, our belief in Christ is the entry into the Sabbath. That is what? That is what? At that day. That is the Sabbath. Do you understand me? Where it is God that did the work and man rested in God's work. How? Believe. Do you understand me? So Moses, because of their unbelief, will not give them a particular day to remind them of what God will do. So Moses giving them that day, remember they were unbelieving. Watch this. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they didn't keep anything called Sabbath day, because they understood, they believed. Do you understand me? But when he got to these guys that are having in heart sclerocardia, what did Moses do? Because they did not believe Moses' words. They didn't believe the message of the gospel. What did Moses do? Moses would not do what? Tell them, give them a particular day. Because, listen, because the Sabbath is the Lord's day. Do you understand me? So he will not give them a particular day and say, in this day you will rest. Now, did you see why they will not walk on that Sabbath day, on that day Moses gave them? To show that in the Sabbath of the Lord, you rest in God's work, what he has done. So, the Sabbath is not now a day of the week, but his day. What is his day? Resurrection. Did you get that? Aha, is the fact of the gospel. Did you not see? So, you can now see that what Moses was busy writing for them, or writing to them, is fact about Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Okay, let's go a step further. Back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. 1 Corinthians 3, 16. He said, do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? And he said, you are the temple. When he uses that word temple, we said Moses comes to mind, which we've explained, right? Okay. Meaning, now, take note of this. In the New Testament, there are two words used for temple. And the word that Moses used here, and I said, don't I call him Moses? I started. Paul. The word that Paul used there is the word naos. Naos. It is the word used for where they believe God dwells. You have what we call the inner chamber. Do you understand? Aha. Where they believe God dwells. Or they call it the holiest of all. I said your body. I mean, he said your body is the temple. Don't you know that you are, Father, you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Meaning you are that place where God dwells. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So what Paul is saying here is that the temple of the temple Moses gave them was due to their unbelief, is to show that God will dwell in man in the new birth. So when a man believes, instantly when he believes, instantly, not a millisecond, immediately believes, the Spirit of God dwells in his heart. He becomes the temple of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah.
Amen.
In Rome, in Colossians, he said that day, that moment, that time, that instance, he was translated from the kingdom of darkness. He stopped being the temple of idol to becoming the temple of God. Hallelujah. Second Corinthians chapter 6. We are temple of God. We stop being a temple of idols. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Let's look at how Jesus will put it. John chapter 3. Verse 3. John 3, 3. We are very far from rounding up. John 3, 3. I'll be fast. Jesus said, I said to him, most assuredly I said to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Verse 5. Most assuredly I said to you, unless one is born of water. You know, Nicodemus asked some funny questions. Does it mean I have to go into my mother's womb and be born again? Then Jesus is explaining what he said in verse 3. He said, most assuredly I said to you, except one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now, when Jesus used the word water, we're not using water and Spirit differently. No. Do you understand me? When you use the word and, you say a man is born of water. That word and is the word kai in the Greek. It is a word used to explain. So when he says, except the man be born of water, now he's about to give the explanation of that word. He says the Spirit. He's not saying you must have water baptism. You know, I remember one funny doctrine that was spreading around Nigeria. Well, I actually preached it in my secondary school. Say, you know, when you're born again, you only see the kingdom of God. You only see the kingdom of God. But you know, he's just like a man who is walking by Victoria Island and he saw a fine building. He just stands and appreciates. Wow, lovely building. Wonderful building. But you know, he cannot enter. But how can you not enter? You need to be born of water. and of the Spirit. You need to be born of blood, do water baptism. Then now receive Holy Ghost baptism before you can enter. That is just ignorance gone on rampage. I preached it. So I was preaching babash. Nonsense. It has no eternal weight. It is just phony preaching. So that's why you need to watch what is in book and stay with God's word. Do you understand me? Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
I preached it then. Preached it then in secondary school. Stand in front of class. The lady was preaching. The lady was crying. Say yes, preach on. When the lady was crying, say yes. You must be born of the Spirit. If not, your salvation is shaken. You're not born again. My lady will cry when. We're just waiting. You see, the fact that people weep because you preach does not mean you are preaching the right thing. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Okay. Let's go ahead. So Jesus uses the word car. It means except a man be born of water, that's the word and the car. Except a man be born of water, that is. Now Jesus is telling you that the water is the Spirit. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. So except a man be born of water, that is the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So it means, listen, what Jesus is saying is that to be born again is to be born of the Spirit. You know, when Nicodemus was asking a question, he now said, look at verses 7. He said, do you know, Master, that I said to you, you must be born again? I mean, everything I'm trying to talk to you, that you must be born again. The Spirit, the water, everything is to be born again. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Look at verse 8, verse 12. Say, if I use earthly words, if I tell you earthly things, how do not believe? How will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? You know that? So what he's talking about is being born again. So he calls being born again, being born of the Spirit. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
If you go to chapter 4, he calls it in verse 10, the water of his resurrection. He said, the water I will give in the resurrection. Verses 10 and verse 14 of chapter 4. Whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never thirst, but what I shall give him, that in verse 14, will become to him a fountain of water springing up to everlasting life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So he calls it the water of his resurrection. In chapter 7, verse 37, he says, on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come and to me and drink. He that believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his heart shall flow rivers of living water. Now when there are rivers of living water, he said, but this he spoke concerning the Spirit. Do you understand me? So he calls the water of that his resurrection the Spirit. Do you understand? So before, as you get to chapter 7, John especially was as read chapter 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Before you get to chapter 7, do you understand me? So he calls that water the water of, the water of his resurrection is called his Spirit. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul will now be explaining. Listen, chapter 10. Paul is explaining where? He's explaining where? Exodus 17, verse 5 to 7. When Moses struck the rock and water came out and the people drank. Do you understand me? Now that is an event. And I remember we've spoken about that. That you don't look at the event, right? You see salvation. Now, Paul is explaining. Verse 4, he says, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. When he said the rock was Christ, where was he reading from? He's reading from Moses to Deuteronomy. Do you understand me? That's 2 verse 4. Right? He says the Lord is the rock. So that rock that I struck, the Lord is the rock. Right? Now, listen, and the water that came out. So, listen though. Listen. If you read John 5:46, I'm trying to round up on time. If you read John 5:46, he says, if you have believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote concerning me. That means when Moses was writing concerning that rock, the reason why Moses documented that rock was to use the rock to illustrate Christ. Do you understand me? Because Moses will write of me. Hallelujah. And if that rock was to demonstrate Christ, that means Moses was writing the resurrection fact when he wrote about the rock and the water. Do you understand me? Moses was writing resurrection fact. And remember, before he wrote, before the rock and the water, he had spoken to them, right? About what? God, right? The oracles of God, right? That God would dwell in man. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So, what Moses, listen though, what Paul will now say in Romans chapter 10, listen, will now be the rock is Christ. That was what Paul explained. Now, the water that flowed from the rock will be the what? The water of the rock. Right? The water of Christ. And what is the water of Christ? The Spirit of God in the resurrection. Do you understand me? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Let's look at what Moses told them in Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy 30. Deuteronomy 30, verse 6. I'm trying to see how December will be for us. I'll just take out the time before this is that. Believers meeting, before our believers meeting. Let's just have a day. Outside the Monday, after GPLC. Just a day. Just have a day outside meeting time. Just a teaching time. So we'll just spend like 4 or 5 hours. Let's just discuss a bit about all what we've spoken of concerning Moses. You understand? We'll just share a bit. No topic name. We'll just talk about, we'll just bring everything together. You understand? And we'll limit it to only what we say concerning Moses. It's not going to be recorded. You understand? Okay, it will be recorded. It will be recorded. But we will have to, I will have to wait for the leading of God's Spirit to have it uploaded. You understand? Aha. We will not upload it. Except I'm led to upload it. You understand? So we'll just bring together what we've been right talking about Moses. You understand? Aha. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
And I pray Pastor Wisdom will give us that time. Because he's the custodian of that time. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So if Pastor Wisdom allows us. I mean, Pastor Wisdom, but he that let it, you let. So when you allow, if there's time, but December is going to be very busy for us. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy chapter 30, right? Verse 6. He says, and the Lord your God, Moses is speaking. Now, let's look at verse 5. You know, while I was studying, I wanted to, it's in my heart to teach verse 5, but I'm not talking. Well, let's just read it. I'll just say one or two things along that line. Now, look at verse 5. He said, and the Lord your God will bring you to the land which your fathers possessed, and you shall possess it. He will prosper you and multiply you more than your fathers. He's not talking about, I said I will not say anything. But truth be told, here he's not talking about material wealth. You remember, you need to understand what Moses is writing. So you read verse 4. Leave verse 5, jump to verse 6, understand. Do you understand? And you see what Moses is talking about. Look at verse 6. And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart. Automatically, when you hear this, it should change your thinking about verse 5. Because everything Moses is talking about now is concerning what? The heart. Did you get that? Aha. Now he said, the Lord your God will circumcise your heart. And the heart of your descendant to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, that you may live. That word again, that you may live, that you may come back to life. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
When we'll get somewhere now, you'll see the reason why we just need to talk about Moses. So go and beg Pastor Wisdom for me. Beg him. I'm telling you to beg him. He's a zonal pastor. He said, don't teach. I'll go to Joss and teach. I'll just go to Joss. I said, Pastor Sophie, are you ready? He said, yeah, I'll go and teach. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, my name. Okay. Now, when Moses spoke to them about the circumcision of their heart, he's writing to them about what the Lord will do. What the Lord will do in the resurrection. So, it's a resurrection fact. The circumcision of the heart, we'll see that next week, is the resurrection fact. We'll see that next week. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, a lot is piling up for us next week. Keep asking myself, are we going to be done next week? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, what is the circumcision of the heart? Remember I said it is the resurrection fact. And when we talk about resurrection fact, we're talking about what? The spirit indwelling man, right? So, is that what Moses is talking about? Well, yet we're going to see closely right now. Ezekiel chapter 36. You see, Moses is a character that needs careful study. Pastor Shegu will see. Hallelujah. He needs careful study. And that's why we need to study all what we've said from January to today concerning Moses. Remember I said, Genesis 36, are you there? Now, Moses, like every other prophet, will prophesy for Moses. Let's say Moses, Ezekiel, like every other prophet, will prophesy for Moses. You know why? Moses is Moses is the beginning of scriptures. Some people might not like that, but that's the truth. Moses is the beginning of scriptures. Jesus in Luke 24:25. He says, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, beginning at Moses. So Moses is the beginning of scriptures. Genesis 1:1, Moses wrote it. So Moses is the beginning of scriptures. Do you get that? Hallelujah. So everybody will write from Moses. Everybody will prophesy from Moses. Did you get that? Who prophesied from Moses? So Moses become a central figure that every other writer will quote from. Do you understand me? Paul will explain for Moses. Did you get that? I don't want to say Jesus will quote Moses, no. Because Moses quoted Jesus. Hallelujah. Did you get that? Aha. But every other person will quote Moses. Did you get that? Jesus will mention Moses in all his speech, almost all his speech. David will quote Moses. So Moses becomes a central Bible, not Timo, become a character in the Bible, that other characters would quote from. Do you understand me? And what would they quote from Moses? They will quote about Christ from Moses. Did you see that? Because Christ is the centerpiece of the scriptures. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So look at what he will say. From verse 25. We're talking about the circumcision of the heart. He says, and I will sprinkle clean water on you. Old King James will call pure water, right? Or is it Hebrews that say that? I want to get an Old King James Bible. I miss Old King James. The D, the Thou. And hallelujah.
Amen.
I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Did you see that?
I will sprinkle clean water. Now, when Ezekiel brings in, just listen. He says, I will sprinkle clean water. When he calls clean water, what comes to your mind? The water of his resurrection, right? Right?
Uh-huh. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The water of his resurrection. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. Right? And I mean, I shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from your idols. Ezekiel again is talking about the resurrection fact, which is what, when it talks about filthiness and all your idols, it talks about what? The forgiveness of sins. He's talking about forgiveness of sins. We'll explore that next week also. Do you understand me? He's talking about forgiveness of sins. A very vital truth in the resurrection. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Very important. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
He says, cleanse from all your filthiness and from all your idols. He said, I will give you a new heart. Now, this is Moses, right? 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 Circumcision of the heart. I will give you a new heart. I will put a new spirit within you. When it says, and I will put a new spirit within you, it's not talking about two different things. It says, I will give you a clean heart. That is, I will put a new spirit within you. So that circumcision of the heart is the indwelling of the Spirit of God. Did you see that? I will put a new spirit within you. I will take away the heart of stone out of your flesh, and I will give you the heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you, and I will cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgment and do them. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Then verse 28. Say, then you will dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I'll be your God. If you see all truth till Ezekiel, he's talking about the land. About the land. Understand me? That same promised land. You will dwell in the land. You understand? In the land, rather. Did you get that?
So we discussed the promised land. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Is it not obvious we should talk about the promised land? It's very obvious, right? It's very obvious. Because it's now resounding in every part of what we are reading, the promised land. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. As we begin to round up now. 1 Corinthians 2. We're going back there. Verse 12. So now we receive not the spirit that is of this world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know those things that have been freely given to us of God. 1 Corinthians 2:12. That we might know those things that have been freely given to us of God. He said, which things we speak, not in the world in which human wisdom teaches, right? But which the Holy Spirit teaches. He said, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Well, listen to the word spiritual, is the word pneumaticus. Is the word pneumaticus. Pneumaticus implies things, or it implies in the spirit, by the spirit, or from the spirit. In the spirit, by the spirit, of the spirit. So things in the spirit, by the spirit, and of the spirit. So listen, when it says in the spirit, so when you hear the word pneumaticus, like I always say, if you read the surrounding text, you will find the spirit being mentioned. So when you now get to chapter 3, he now said in verse 1, he said, I couldn't speak to you as unto spirituals, pneumaticus, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes. Now, listen, he said, I couldn't speak to you as unto spiritual, meaning I cannot communicate to you as who you are. Do you understand me? He says, but as unto babes. Now, when you use the word babes, we said, nobody is born again a babe. Right? Right? Now, he uses the word babe to signify their conduct. To signify their conduct. He said, I fed with milk and not with food. But until now, you are still unable to receive it. Even now, you still. Now they will say, are you not carnal? For where there is strife, envy. So their conduct was the conduct of what? In the flesh. So they walked in the flesh. Do you understand me? So he said to them, I couldn't speak to you as unto spiritual people. So because of their conduct, he couldn't talk to them as who they are. Because they are spiritual. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So what Paul is saying is, in that verse 13, he says, these things will speak in which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So he calls the man who believes spiritual. You know, the man who believes shows that that man is from the Spirit. He's of the Spirit. Do you understand me? Do you understand me? He's from the Spirit. He's of the Spirit. He's by the Spirit. He calls the man born again spiritual. Why will he call the man born again spiritual? Because in verses 12, he said, we have received not the spirit of this world, but the spirit which is of God. Now, in chapter 3, verse 1, he now calls that man, he also calls the man spiritual. I couldn't speak to you as who you are, spiritual. Right? Because of their conduct. So, they are still spiritual. Then in verse 16, he said, the spirit of God dwells in you. So, because the spirit of God dwells in him, that man is spiritual. Do you understand me? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, also, he calls the communication of the gospel spiritual. Remember we said, remember we are discussing, investigating how the gospel, right, which is in parallel, the spirit, is ministered in the Old Testament, right? Right? Is that what we are discussing? Uh-huh. Hallelujah. So, he also called the communication of the gospel spiritual. I said, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So, the second spiritual there is what? The believer. Then the first is called spiritual things, which is what? Things of the Spirit. He calls the communication of the gospel. That is what he's explaining. Look at verse 4. Look at verse 4. Look at verse 4 of that chapter 2. It says, and my speech and my preaching were not in the persuasive words of human wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Meaning he brings in, listen, that the message is what? The demonstration of the Spirit. So because of the Spirit element in the message, listen, the message is spiritual. Did you get that? Aha. Very important. Or because the message is the Spirit word. No. Take away that Spirit element. It doesn't sound nice in my ear. It doesn't sound nice in my ear. Aha. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Not Spirit element. That means they have other elements. No. Glory to God. In fact, let me explain. So when he uses the word demonstration of the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost power, he uses it for the communication of the gospel. He said the communication of the gospel is the demonstration of the Holy Ghost power. Do you get that? He calls the communication of the gospel the demonstration of the Holy Spirit power. That is why in verse 13 he will now call it spiritual thing. Because it is the demonstration of the Holy Ghost power. That word demonstration is the word apodexis. It's a verb. It's a noun rather, apodexis. It has a verb, which I told us last week, right? Apodekumin. Apodekumin. That's the verb. That word implies to put light forth. To put forth light on something, on a surface. Do you understand? This is a surface. When you put light on the surface. Do you understand? Aha. So what he said is that the communication of the gospel is the demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Meaning, listen. It means that when the gospel is communicated, the Holy Spirit shed forth light in the message of Christ. In the works of Christ. Hallelujah. So that is why he calls it what? Spiritual. Do you understand that? That's why he calls it spiritual. And that is why Paul also in Romans will say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. Do you understand? It is the power of God to save. So God's power is demonstrated in the preaching of the gospel.
is demonstrated. The Spirit of God puts light. Shed not light on the finished work or on the works of Christ. Let me not use finished work. Like, for some people think I'm part of them. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, if you have this in mind, listen, if you have this in mind, then go to chapter 10, verse 4. Listen, you have just called these spiritual things, right? Called man spiritual because of the spirit. Now, if you go to chapter 10, verse 4, when he says the rock is spiritual and the drink is spiritual. Yes, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 4. It will not be hard for you to get now. Because you already know that the communication of the gospel is what is spiritual. Right? Aha. So it will not be hard for you to now see the rock as being spiritual. And the water as being spiritual. Did you get that? Aha. Just be easy. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Because the spirit will be found in the preaching of the gospel. That's why you see the rock being spiritual and the water being spiritual. Because you find the Spirit of God in the preaching of the gospel. So a man's first contact with the Spirit of God will be when the gospel is preached. Do you understand? Aha. So therefore, we are rounding up. So therefore, can I see the Spirit of God in the Old Testament? Can I see the Spirit of God in the Old Testament? Emphatically, yes. Yeah. We just said it now. The communication of the gospel is spiritual. So, meaning I will find the Spirit of God in the mouth of the prophet when they spoke about Christ. Did you see that? I will find the Spirit of God in the mouth of the prophet when they speak about Christ in the Old Testament. So Christ will be, the Spirit of God will be found in their words concerning Christ. Did you get that? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
And that was what Moses was communicating in Genesis 1 verse 2. So in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Said the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God brooded over the surface of the waters. So the waters there is humanity. Hallelujah. It's humanity. Hallelujah. So, listen. Paul will now shed forth light to us. I warned. And Paul will not shed forth light to us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's get to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. From verse 4, it says, some of us say, for if our gospel is vain, it's vain to those who are perishing, rounding up. Say, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lives the light of the glorious of the gospel of the glory of Christ. Who is the acorn of God should shine on them? For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. And ourselves your bond servant for Jesus' sake. For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The Spirit of God brooding over the surface of the deep is God wanting to dwell in man. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So you find Christ. You find the Spirit of God in the gospel. In the gospel preached. Find the tiny minute gospel preached. Hallelujah. Have you been blessed? Let's be on our feet.